Welcome to Financial Fitness. It is episode number 6. I am John Gay, joined once again by Philip Ord from One on One Financial. Happy New Year, Philip. Good to be back with you.
Happy New Year to you too, John. Good to be back with you also. Did you spend lots of time with family and eat too much and drink too much like the rest of us did?
You know, my wife and I decided this year we were going to just hang out and not deal with the headaches and the travel. And we did what we call Jewish Christmas. So we ordered our Chinese food and we were good.
Nice. You know, I had a nice segue into, you know, financial fitness here, but you brought up Chinese food. So I have two children. They're both adopted from China. Mm-hmm. And my oldest daughter, we actually brought home on Christmas Eve. So every year on Christmas Eve, we all go out for Chinese food, and we all is whoever is available. It's not family. It's not restricted. It's if we live near each other, John, you would have an open invitation to come have Chinese food with us.
Way to take my tradition and just completely blow it out of the water. That's really cool.
It was fun. Let's see. There was 6 family, and I think we had 6 other people that were not family. We ordered some weird stuff, some normal stuff, and we all got to try it family style, and we were home by 9.
Very cool.
So anyhow, back to financial fitness. So my segue here was you ate too much, you drank too much. I know I did.
Yep.
I'm sitting here feeling like, who shrunk my belt?
I got back on the treadmill this morning, so I'm right there with you.
Right? A lot of people do resolutions and goal setting about their health, their fitness. Mm-hmm. They go about it in a pretty normal way, and that is that they're really committed in January, or at least the first week in January. And, you know, hopefully they can try and make it through till February. And there's a correlation here between fiscal fitness, financial fitness, and personal fitness.
Sure.
That is, to be ultimately successful financially, it's not going to happen in a week. It's not going to happen in a month. It's got to be a routine that is part of your life and part of everything you do. Whether it's getting out of debt or saving more money or saving for a house, you can't do it in a week unless you win the lottery, which there's a few people out there that could do that, I guess. But for the rest of us, we got to slug it out.
Yeah.
And just like trying to get my belt to stretch, as it were, or my waistline to shrink, it's not going to happen in a week. And you've got to be consistent at it. So what are the correlations between the two? So maybe you sat down on January the 1st with or without a hangover, and you thought, oh my gosh, this trend has got to change. And you probably wrote out, I'm going to go to the gym Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or maybe it's Tuesday, Thursday, and I'm going to go for a walk on such and such a day, and I'm not going to eat out. I'm not going to order the French fries when I go out. You know, maybe I won't have a soda.
I'm not going to go out for Chinese.
Well, yeah, there's that. You set those goals for yourself. Well, financial fitness is really, really similar. And it might be that, hey, you know what? I spent a little bit more on Christmas than I should. So I've got to dig myself out of that hole. Or maybe it's just now part of a much larger hole. So maybe it's that you start with paying down an extra $100 a month on your debt. Or if you're fortunate enough to be debt-free, that maybe you put an extra $100 away into some sort of a savings account. So the vehicles you have, depending on where you work and what you do, but it might be that you have, if you have a 401k at work, that's going to be your best deduction, especially if you've got a match. If you're not contributing to it currently, then just starting will double your money potentially. I know here in our office, we have a 401k and I match. So if anybody that works here puts at least what I'm matching in there, they double their money. That's 100% return day one on their money. And their paycheck didn't go down by $100 if they put $100 in. It probably only went down by about $85 because of taxes.
It's something we've covered in previous episodes, Philip. It's the only guaranteed 100% return on investment off the jump, so that you contribute, if you max out what your employer match is going to be, in a sense, it's almost like free money because they are matching whatever you put in. You put in 50, they put in 50. You put in 200, they put in 200. It's doubling your money. You should absolutely, if there's any way to do it, max out your 401k up to the maximum match of your employer.
At least I would encourage doing more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's a great place to start putting money away. Now, the downside to that is that hypothetically, if you're putting money in your 401k, but you keep accruing credit card debt, there's a problem there. So you're saving money pre-tax, but yet you're still going into debt because of another reason. Usually that reason is lack of personal savings.
Yeah.
So what I like to look at with my clients is say, hey, look, if you're funding your retirement, but you're accumulating debt, there's a problem. So what I like to see them do is to start paying down the debt, do the match on the 401k, but if you can squeeze out a little bit more money, pay down the debt, but also put some money into a savings account once a month. Now, you could argue, I know there's plenty of people out there, whether it's Susie Orman or Dave Ramsey, they'd say, well, but keeping the debt is bad for you. You need to pay it off as soon as possible. Personally, I think there's a psychological approach, and that is that if you're chipping away at your debt, but you're increasing your personal savings, next time a tire blows out and you're going to spend an extra $100, you've got the savings to do it, and you're not going to bust out the credit card.
Yeah. And you want to break that habit of using the credit card when something pops up in the new year. That's a great resolution to have, is to put that credit card away, because, you know, that compound interest will get you every time.
Yeah, exactly. And you're thinking, oh, yeah, I'm paying $200 a month for my credit card. But if you're also charging another $250 because you have no personal savings, well, you're going the wrong way.
That was me in my 20s. You're preaching to the choir. I think back to those days and how much trouble I got myself into when I was young and dumb.
It's not even a question of being young and dumb. It's almost a nature of the way many Americans are. So
then I'm going to give myself some credit, and anybody listening credit. Not young and dumb, but young and not having the resources to be able to climb out of that hole.
There you go. There you go. You know, I've got many clients that I work with that are retirement rich and cash poor, and they have debt.
Hmm.
Yeah, they got plenty of money in their retirement account, except they have debt. And it's because they're putting it all in retirement. They're relying solely on that. I like to look at these items as fallback zones, almost like fighting a war, right? If something happens and you need money today, where's it going to come from? Well, granted, it would probably be a credit card, unless you have it in your checking account and you're going to swipe your debit card, right? It's one of those two places. But then how do you replace that money? If it's in your checking account, it'll probably come back around on your next paycheck. If it's on a credit card, you got to pay it. Where's that coming from? Well, how about some personal savings? Just set up an account at your bank and transfer $100 a week, a month, or whatever it is that you can afford into that account, and know that the next time your cash emergency comes up, that doesn't mean to say it's my birthday, I'm spoiling myself. Let's be clear.
That's not an emergency.
Yeah, maybe we should have a definition of terms here. Let's define emergency. Broken bones, blood, I need a car to get to work or I'll lose my job. I need it repaired fast. Those are all what I would consider emergencies.
Sure.
I would not consider, I've had a hard week, I need some retail therapy as emergency.
No.
Or wait, the new iPhone 11 came out, I've got to have it before my friends do.
Now, for anybody who doesn't know Philip, who's listening, he does love his tech and he does love his gadgets. So
I do.
If he is telling you that you do not need the iPhone 11, you don't need the iPhone 11.
You may want it. I know I want it.
Yeah, want and need are two very different words.
I have my X or my 10 sitting right in front of me, and it's definitely on my want list, but it's working its way up the need list. Occasionally, I drop a call here and there, and it's starting to frustrate me. But anyway, you know, when it gets to that point, yes, replace it. But just because they came out with a new one doesn't mean to say you need to go get it today.
Right.
So yeah, financial fitness, it's very similar to everything you're doing on your personal fitness side, your personal resolutions. I'm looking at my notes that I was talking with Leslie here in my office. She said, you know, declutter your house. That's a big resolution. Well, you can declutter your finances too. What about all those reoccurring payments you signed up for? I believe there's services out there where you can actually have them check to see how many reoccurring bills you're paying and what they're for. And it might have been, oh yeah, that sounds like a great idea at the time. 2 years later, you're still paying for it. And it's $2 here, $10 there, $5 here, whatever it is.
Even if you don't use one of those services, because everything is online and everything is electronic now, all you've got to do is look at your bank statement or your credit card statement and just go through the month and say, wait, I'm still getting dinged for that $6. I'm still getting dinged for that. A perfect example for me. So one of my checking accounts, I don't know why, but somehow when I got signed up, I got paper statements. I don't need them, but I got them. And it's a $3 service charge every month. And every time I see that charge come through and I say, oh, I've been meaning to cancel that. And then a month goes by, oh, I've been meaning to cancel that. And then a month goes by and, oh, I've been meaning to cancel that. So take the time to sit down and get rid of all these little dinks and dunks that add up over the course of a year.
Exactly. Exactly. It's insane how much there is. And I'm guilty myself. I'm a big Apple guy. I've already talked about an Apple iPhone. So I believe there's a setting in the iTunes store where you can track your reoccurring payments.
Yes.
And all the things that are billing to your credit card, those apps that you're using, the where you're just like, oh yeah, 7-day trial, I'll try it. Next thing you know, you're paying $4.99 a week. Highway robbery. I have children, right? I talked about my two adoptive children, 7 and 10, and they'll come to me and go, Daddy, can I get this app? I'm like, let me look at it. It says it's free, I can get it. And then when it goes into free, yeah, it's free for the first week. And then you sign up for something and it's, some of them are $8 a week.
Wow.
And people don't do the math on that. And you think, wait a minute, you're going to pay, you know, $360 a year for this app that you might use once or twice.
You are faster with math than I am. I was trying to crunch the numbers in my head, but you beat me to it.
Well, hopefully I got that right, and we're not going to have any comments afterwards to say that he didn't do that math right. He's a lousy financial advisor. Yeah, because honestly, it was kind of a ballpark in my head. I didn't do the math. So anyone listening, if it's not quite correct, you get the idea.
Right. You're talking but somewhere between $350 and $400 a year if you're talking $8 a week.
Exactly. So this goes along with, you know, do you have a bad habit you've been meaning to kick? Well, yeah, reoccurring payments on apps I'm not using or services I'm not using. And I got to admit, my own household is getting out of control. I have DirecTV that my wife watches. We've got Netflix. I think we now have Apple TV, you know, the subscription, the Apple Plus or whatever it is.
Yep.
And I'm not sure, but we might have something going on with Amazon as well. So we're getting all these TV subscriptions. I'm thinking to myself, I don't have enough time in my day to watch all of this. And it's been on my agenda. So as we're sitting here, I'm making a note that says, review those and if they're worth it or not, because those collectively are a couple $100 between our regular DirecTV and, you know, the pay channels that we have along with Netflix and you name it.
My wife and I are cord cutters, and we cut the cord and got rid of cable about a year ago. And first we had PlayStation View for our cable service, but they're going out of business, so we switched over to YouTube TV for our cable. And we saved a ton of money, but if we're not careful, by the time you add up Netflix and Hulu and all those other services, you can end up paying just as much as you're going to pay the cable company. And I do want to come back to your point about the iPhone and Apple subscriptions too, because Apple makes it tricky to find because they don't want you to know. But if you go in to your Apple ID on your phone or your iPad or your device, and you eventually can find your purchase and subscription history, that's where you'll see everything that you're getting dinged for. So spend a few minutes, find it, and it'll be well worth it when you can cancel those things and save those few dollars every month because they add up quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you. I knew it was in there somewhere. So thank you for pointing that out because I didn't remember where it was. So just like your personal fitness, your health fitness, maybe the thing to do is to write a financial plan, write those goals out.
Yes.
Depending on when you are. So if you're looking to retire, for instance, what are the steps you need to take in the next month, quarter, year to get yourself in retirement readiness? I have plenty of people that come to me and they said, yeah, I'm retiring in January. This was last month.
Oh boy.
You know, not a well thought out plan. There's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, sometimes you get to the point you said, that's it, I want out. But that's the first time they're meeting with a financial professional to decide if they're even going to be able to generate the income, if they're even going to be able to live at their current lifestyle. And they're like, yep, I already made up my mind. I'm out. January 1st is my retirement day. I'm like, okay, well, let's see what we can do. And it's interesting, but I would absolutely, just like you write a plan about your fitness goals, you write a plan about your financial goals as well.
putting it to paper or a note on your phone or a computer, whatever your flavor, putting it down somewhere makes it real. I can say, oh, I'm at my highest weight I've ever been and I want to lose 15 pounds. My wife and I are going on a cruise at the end of the month. I would like to drop 5 to 10 pounds this month, but if I don't track it, I actually have an app now to track every exercise that I do and every food that I eat. If I don't have that accountability, the resolution, whether it's financially related or fitness related, it's going to go out the window. You've got to have a concrete plan and a way to hold yourself accountable to make it happen either side you're looking at it, financial or fitness.
Absolutely. I feel your pain, John. I have gone through that. I need to lose some weight. There was a time in my life when I was actually almost 50 pounds heavier than I am currently. So yeah, it's work. It doesn't come off overnight and it can be frustrating and you hit plateaus. And the same thing with your savings as well. As you're putting away money, you get that setback. You need a set of tires or, I don't know, a rock hits the windshield and it wasn't covered. Whatever it is, you're going to dig in your pocket and it's a setback. And just like your losing weight goal, you don't give up at the first time you end up having a brownie instead of a salad.
Yes.
You know, trust me, we got some good brownies in the office right now left over from Christmas and whew, they're calling me. You touched on a couple different points, John, and I don't want to get off track. Writing it down. For those of you out there that are in the millennial generation, and I want to call you Gen M because millennial has become almost a...
Just call it Gen Y because millennial and Gen Y is the same thing. So you can say Gen Y and not use the unfortunately pejorative term of millennial. So let's just say Gen Y.
Okay. And I like that because you're right. So I read an article where Gen Ys have a really hard time making decisions sometimes. This therapist was writing this article and they said, what I do is I have them journal. And no electronic journals. It's got to be a paper journal. And there's something therapeutic about writing down what it is that you want to do. Or if you've had a bad day, you can write, today really stunk. And then you can turn the page.
Yeah.
And tomorrow's a better day. So writing it down matters.
You're using a different neurological pathway in your brain in the act of writing it down than you are just typing it on a screen. I love that.
Yes. That being said, I'm like, why can't I find it on my iPad Pro? But I have a pencil. But, you know, so I actually, for everyone in the office, I bought them all journals and we've started journaling. Now, this is not business related. It's personal and they don't have to share them with me. There's nothing like that. But we're all doing it, including myself. And I got to admit, I'm finding it rather therapeutic. It's also keeping me on task on all the things that I have going on because I have my own financial goals as well.
Of course.
So I'm doing it too. The other thing that we have available, just like you can hire an online personal fitness coach. I know one of the ladies in the office, they've got an online coach. They send them their workouts of the week that they have to do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then they check in and keep them accountable. So we actually have a financial planning platform where for a subscription, you can sign up and enter your data and then you get access to me.
Okay.
Or if not me, one of the other advisors in the office, depending on your level of planning, to help keep you on track with your financial goal. And once you put in your bank information, it automatically uploads your balance. You put in your credit card information, it'll upload your balance. Your 401k, your say, it all can pull it together. And it's real-time financial planning as you're doing it. So as you're saving money away, it's going to say, hey, look, project it out. This is what you're going to do. So now we can become your financial fitness coach. But unfortunately, it's one of those fees that will be ongoing. So it's not like you need to have $250,000 to work with us. We can work with someone who's, you know, on the other end of the spectrum as far as starting or they don't have much to work with, but they want to start working with a professional, then we have that available. And we're not the only people. There's plenty of other advisors out there that do it. But we happen to have this service that would fit in for that. I want to work with you, but I don't have much. Mm-hmm. Category. And then we can keep you accountable and we'd sit down and do your plan every year and keep you on track. So that's what we do. And I think the last thing on my list is you got to be realistic.
Yeah.
Nobody gets overweight overnight. That also means you don't lose it overnight. And I'd say nobody gets rich overnight, but we all could argue that there's those people that you know, happen to buy the right stock on the right day or the right lottery ticket from the right place at the right time. That's true. But for the most part, most of us don't get rich overnight. It takes time. So you got to be patient. You got to be patient with yourself more than everything. Give the process time.
Yeah, it's so true, Philip, because you can't just automatically change overnight. You can't just change all of your habits financially and when it comes to fitness as well. You've got to kind of slowly build to it to the point where it becomes habit. You know, I mentioned earlier, so my wife and I are going on this cruise at the end of the month. She looked at me last night and she said, we've got 3 weeks to be good. Okay, we're going to eat right and exercise for 3 weeks. And then once the cruise comes, yeah, we'll probably go hit the buffet at the cruise a few times. But not only will we feel better on the cruise, but we'll have a foundation of, okay, we've got some habits that we've formed that we can come back to, you know, mid-February once we're back so that we can get back into the swing of things.
You know what, John, I'm going to challenge you since you're going on your cruise.
Okay.
How about I challenge you to take a fitness class or two or three or four on the cruise?
I'll give you one. How's that? I'll give you one. Give you one.
I'm just saying, you know, just because you're going on a cruise doesn't mean to say it's going to end your goal planning. It's like, say, I'm saving for a cruise. Okay, great. I save for the cruise. Now I'm going to stop saving.
Right.
Right? Same with, I'm losing weight to go on the cruise. Now I'm going to stop losing weight.
You know, that makes a lot of sense when you put it that way.
Just save, and it's your vacation fund. So you just, every month, that way next year when you go to go on your cruise, it's not going to be a, I don't know anything about your personal finances, John, so I'm not implying that. But if you do it all year round, then it's a non-issue. It's built into your budgeting for the year.
Exactly.
Just like, okay, yeah, we're going to eat a little bit more on the cruise, but if I can get some exercise in, and maybe you do work out a little bit harder going into it, but guess what? When you get back, you're going to work out a little bit harder again.
Right.
Just to reverse the flow, as it were.
Exactly, exactly.
I've been on a couple of cruises. They can be detrimental to the waistline rather quickly.
Right, exactly. Well, there are so many parallels, as we've discussed today, Philip, between financial resolutions and fitness resolutions, as per the name of this podcast, Financial Fitness. It's got a sort of a double meaning this time around, so I'm glad we were able to discuss this today. And really, when it comes to both topics, it's planning, it's keeping yourself accountable, and it's not something you can do overnight.
No, it's not. It does take time, and it can be discouraging. It's like hopping on the scale every day. It's the same with looking at your financial net worth on a daily basis. There are days when it's going to feel discouraging, but you got to keep on track, plow through, and who knows, maybe you keep both a personal journal and a financial journal and a fitness journal all in one place. You can say, today I worked out, today I saved, the next day I cheated on my meal, I didn't work out, and I spent a little extra money that I didn't mean to. Following day,
turn the page. All right. If somebody wants help with their financial goals, this is the time of year that a lot of people think about it. A lot of people find a financial advisor, Philip. What are the best ways to reach you at 101 Financial?
101financial.com and 909-981-1720. And you can call us. You can text us. We're available. We're easy to find. Anybody here can help us get connected, whether it's an appointment with me, a phone call, and or myself or any of the other financial advisors here at 101 Financial.
And we'll include links for the contact information in the show notes. If you're driving right now somewhere where you can't write it down, just come back, check those show notes, and get in touch with Philip and the team at 101 Financial. Great to be back with you, sir. We'll talk to you next month.
Absolutely. And if I don't talk to you till after the cruise, I look forward to hearing about all the wonderful destinations you went.
And maybe a fitness class or two also.
There you go. All right, John, take care.
Securities and advisory services offered through Centaurus Financial Inc., member FINRA and SIPC, a registered investment advisor. 101 Financial and Centaurus Financial Inc. are not affiliated companies.